Hi, this is Tony Tang, and this is the second lecture in task-centered system design. What we're going to focus on this time is actually doing a walkthrough of the Cheap Shop, or the Cheap Shop catalog store, and the interface that we talked about last time. So we'll actually do the walkthrough as described in the previous lecture. One thing to note is that there are some slides in here where in class it would be revealed bits and pieces at a time. So I'll just give you slide timings rather than necessarily each individual bit and piece. You should be able to figure it out as we go. Next slide. So by the end of this lecture, you should be able to conduct a walkthrough using a task-centered design method. You should also be able to describe what a task-centered method is good for and why you might be able to use it. Next slide. So just to recap really quickly, we talked about task-centered system design as having four phases. The first phase is to identify your users and their tasks and to develop good task descriptions. We also talked about using these task descriptions in terms of evaluating them by taking them back to the users and asking them for clarifications, omissions, and problems and suggestions. In the second phase, you're actually doing requirements analysis. You're asking the question, which of these tasks are we actually going to design for? Which of these users are we actually going to design for? And trying to do a prioritization on both users and tasks. In the third phase, you're actually using scenarios to actually do the design. Now, I didn't talk about this piece too much because I think in principle, this is fairly intuitive. You're taking the tasks and you're trying to design an interface based on those tasks. The fourth phase is evaluating these designs using a task-centered walkthrough, and that's what we're going to focus on today. Next slide. All right, so I've already kind of shown you the two screens of the Cheap Shop catalog store interface. Just to recap really quickly, the first screen is what they see when they get in, and then the second screen is what they would use if they continue to add catalog items. Just to add a little bit of description to the picture of an interface, I'll slide you over to the next slide. And here are some descriptions, right? So to create an order on screen one, shoppers first enter their personal information and their first order. Text is entered via keyboard. The tab or the mouse is used to go between fields. For further orders, shoppers go to the second screen by pressing the next catalog item button. And when users finished with their order, they select trigger invoice, and the system automatically tells shipping and billing information about the order, and the system returns to a blank screen number one. One more bit. If they want to cancel the order, shoppers do not enter input for 30 seconds as if they walk away, and the system will then clear all the screens and return to the main screen. In terms of input checking, all the input fields are checked when either button is pressed. An erroneous field will blink for 3 seconds and then it will be cleared. The shopper then can re-enter the correct values in those fields. So this provides you with a very clear description of how this interface works. And notice that this is a very simple design. This is a very simple interface with a few fields and only two screens. Obviously, in the systems that you are building, it will have more screens than this, more buttons than this, more interface elements than this. But having a very clear description of how these elements work with one another is a very important feature of is very important to have for doing a task-centered walkthrough. Next slide. So we talked about one of several tasks, and in particular this time I want to focus on the Fred Johnson task. Just to recall, this is a guy who is caring for his demanding toddler son. He wants a good quality umbrella stroller. Remember that red is preferred, but blue is acceptable. He browses the catalog and chooses the GPG stroller. Cost is $98. Item code is 32306669. He's going to pay for it in cash and is going to use it immediately. Remember also that Fred is a first-time customer to this store and has very little computer experience, and he says he types very slowly with one finger. He lives nearby on Deer Bottom Avenue Northwest. Okay? So this is, again, a task example. And so what you do... next slide. So what you do in a walkthrough evaluation, and this is good for debugging an interface, is you select one of the task scenarios. So in our case, we're going to use the Fred Johnson example. And then for each user's step or action in the task? Can we build a believable story that motivates the user's actions? That is the user motivated to do the next action? And the next question we ask is, do they actually know what the next action they're supposed to do is? And if we run into a problem with one of those two questions, then we know that we've located a problem in the interface, and we're going to note this so that we can come back to it later, assume that it's fixed, and continue on until we get to the end of the task. Right? Next slide. So this is a template that you could actually do, right? So you describe the step, ask the question, does the user have the knowledge or training to do this? Is it believable that they would do it? Are they motivated to do it? And if we run into a problem, we articulate what the solution might be or make the comment so that we can come back to it later. Okay? In the top right-hand corner, you can see that we've got task number written up at the very top. So let's actually do this. Let's actually go through the Fred Johnson example, walk through this scenario, and see whether or not Fred can actually get this whole thing done. I'm going to warn you that this is a little bit on the tedious side, but I think that it is illustrative of the issue. Okay, so hit the next slide, and this is the first example of a slide that gets sort of built up over time. And we've also sort of constrained the template a little bit. But it's basically getting at the same issues. Okay, so what is the first task? And before you move on to the next slide, I want you to kind of say what you think the first task step is. What is the first task step that Fred is going to do? And my bet is that you got it wrong, at least from the perspective of this example. Okay, so next slide. He enters the store, right? Okay, so this is believable. This is, you can believe that it's motivated. He knows how to enter a store. He's been to many stores in the past. And it's believable because, he's seen the store, right? So the next task step, and again, before you hit the next slide, I want you to think about whether you can figure out what this thing is, right? So I'll give you a second to think about that. So in this example, for me, the way we think about it is that the next task step is actually looking for a catalog, right? So is it believable? Maybe. I think. I'm not sure. I think in the past, these kinds of catalog stores were much more common. Today, they're far less common, I think. But nevertheless, it's okay. You would imagine that if it's in the right period, perhaps, he knows that he's looking for a catalog, this is going to be an okay thing. But what if the catalog is online? Is Fred going to know that he needs to use a computer, right? So here's the comment. Finding paper catalogs is not a problem in the current store. However, we were not told if the paper catalog would still be used or if the catalog would be made available online. So this is what we would need to do. We need to ask Cheap Shop about this. If they're developing an electronic catalog, we need to consider how our interface will work with it. For now, we assume that only a paper catalog is used. So notice we make the assumption, we're making it very clear that we're going to make that assumption. And what this is saying is, what this step is also telling us is that we need a complete job, right, from start to finish. And that forces us to consider how our system is going to work within the context of everything else that is actually happening. Right? So think about what the next task might be, right, next task step. So, finds a red JPG stroller in catalog. Is this believable? Yeah, probably. Current paper catalog has proved itself repeatedly as an effective way for customers to browse the Cheap Shop merchandise and to locate products. Okay, so we can imagine that this is going to work. We can imagine that it's believable. And we can imagine that Fred knows how to do this. So, continue thinking about the next step, right? So, next slide. Next task step is that Fred now needs to look for a computer, right? Is it believable? Is he going to have the knowledge to do this? Is he motivated to do this? I think here we might begin to have some issues, right? Remember that Fred is a first-time customer, so Fred does not know he needs to order through the computer. Unfortunately, we do not know how the store plans to tell customers that they should use the computer. Is there a computer next to every catalog, so its association can be inferred? Or are there a limited number of computers at separate counters? Right? Are there signs telling Fred what to do? Right? Note, ask Cheap Shop about the store layout and possible signage. Possible solution? Instead of screen 1, a startup screen can clearly indicate what the computer is for. For example, it can say, order here, order your items here, in large letters. Right? And I think that if you think about what is going on here, This is not too different than your first day on campus, right? Your first day on campus, do you know all the things that you need to do, right? Do you have enough knowledge, right? Is it believable that you would do the next step? Are you motivated to do the next step? And these are the problems that an administrator needs to figure out, right? How do I get the student kind of in and through the system? So just to recap really quickly, I want you to take a quick peek at the interface that's on the next slide. Again, just to refresh yourself. And in fact, if this is something that you're doing at home, you can actually open up this slide on a separate screen altogether, perhaps on a separate window, that is, and watch as Fred is going to make his way through this interface. And think about, at each step, whether it's believable that Fred is going to be able to do each step. Right? Next step. So here, Fred needs to enter in some personal information. So he enters his name. But actually, Fred has no motivation to do this. Why the heck would he be interested in entering his name, right? His task is to buy the stroller, but the scenario shows that the system is asking for his name. Fred may be reluctant to do so if he believes that he will be added to mailing lists, for example, without his permission, right? And so something that you would do is ask the cheap shop why they're asking for the customer's name and other contact information. Remember that Fred's goal is to actually use the stroller as he walks out the store. He doesn't need any delivery, right? So he has absolutely no motivation to leave his name. But anyway, we're going to assume that this bug is fixed, and let's pretend he selects the name field. And here is an issue, right? The knowledge might be lacking. Fred may not know actually how to select the field. To enter his name, Fred is expected to click and type into the first text field on this form. Yet Fred, remember, has very little computer experience and thus may not know what to do. He may also be reluctant to experiment with the system, right? Increasingly, if you, this is something that we see. If you were to watch people that are not accustomed to using computer systems or older users that are using systems that they're not familiar with, older can actually be people my age, for example. They are very reluctant to try things out because they're afraid of screwing things up, right? So some possible solutions. Have the first field pre-selected with a cursor in it. Have a poster next to the computer describing what these basic steps are. Right? You might imagine that these would be solutions. So think about what the next step might be, right? Looking at the interface, right? So types his name. Next slide. Types his name. Knowledge might be lacking. Fred types poorly, does not actually know the name format. Because Fred types poorly, text entry will be slow and tedious. This further dampens Fred's motivation as he is entering information that he feels is unimportant to the task. Fred is also uncertain about formats. Does he type Fred Johnson or Johnson, Fred or Fred J or Johnson, F? Right? These are all possibilities based on what he kind of knows. All right, next slide. So again, take a look at this. Take a peek, right, at the interface. Right, next slide. And think about what it is that Fred is going to try to do here, right? So he needs to move to the phone field, right? Is this a believable or knowledgeable thing? Fred may not know how to use the tab button or to use the mouse to get to the next field because he's unfamiliarity with computers. You might imagine, in fact, that in some scenarios you would get rid of a mouse altogether and have certain buttons that move between fields. Are people going to actually know how to use this? Right? Maybe in today's age, Fred believes that it's a touch screen, but it doesn't work, right? Next step, right? Fill in phone, postal code, province, and city. Poor motivation, poor format knowledge, right? So here again, same kinds of issues. If Fred can complete steps E to H, he will be able to continue following the fields. However, motivation will decrease even further as Fred painfully types unnecessary information into the system. Remember that Fred is also going to have formatting concerns about how he is going to enter the information. Should the phone number include the area code, spaces using spaces or dashes? Should he spell out the province or use the abbreviation? Should he leave a space in the postal code? These are all things that Fred does not know, just based on looking at the interface. Right? And are there possible solutions? Yes, there are possible solutions. But the point here is not only to articulate what these solutions are, but actually point out what the problems are in the interface. Enter the delivery address might be the next step, right? This actually violates the task, right? So this is a huge problem because remember that Fred is going to use that stroller immediately, but the system is asking for a delivery task or delivery address. So to Fred, this actually make no sense what's going on, and Fred may assume that he is filling in the incorrect form, and he may actually give up at this step. And why should that actually be surprising? Right? Remember the last time you filled out some government form and were uncertain about some field that you were filling in. This is an example of a problem that you would discover using task-centered system design. We also notice that the order of the contact information does not follow the typical flow. For example, one would typically expect name, address, city, province, and postal code, phone, rather than the odd order that is actually shown in the form that you have here. Okay, so now think about what the next step might be. Right? You're looking at the interface, it's going to be entering in today's date. Fred has no motivation to do this. This is an odd field. Why should Fred enter the date when the system already knows what it is? Can he skip it? If he does fill it in, he would be quite lucky to enter it in recognizable date format. Right? Think about what that next step is. Enters credit card information. This again violates task. Remember that Fred is paying by cash, and thus he is unwilling to use his credit card number. There's no reason that he wants to. He's also concerned that others may see his credit card information as he types it into the screen. Finally, this seems an odd place to ask for payment information. Most stores ask for it at the end of the transaction, not at the beginning. So it doesn't make any sense. Right? What might the next step be? Ignore validation ID. Okay. While Fred will likely be doing the right thing, this field should not be here. It has nothing to do with Fred's task. So possible solution, just get rid of it, right? Steps E through M, he doesn't need to do this, right? The entire, right? He doesn't need to do this for his task. So possible solution is that this entire part of the interface is not needed or is at best optional. Delete it entirely or move it into a very secondary area that can be filled in after the transaction is completed. Next step. Enter the item number for the JPG Red Stroller. He's motivated but has problems. The item number for Fred Stroller is written on a paper catalog as 323-066-397. Because catalogs are common, he may be able to figure out what he has to do. However, the format is a bit mysterious. Should he include spaces or not? If the paper catalog is in an awkward place, Fred will have to rely on his memory to enter the number and will constantly be running back and forth between the catalog and the computer. Because Fred is a poor typist, he may have difficulty typing the number correctly. So why should this be a surprise at all, right? This makes perfect sense in thinking about this, right? What is the next step? Enter the quantity. Knowledge low, motivation is high. Fred wants only one stroller. However, this spinner widget is somewhat mysterious to Fred. Because he does not know how to use computers, he will likely not know that he can enter the number directly or just click the arrows to select the quantity. Have the spinner show one by default. This would make sense. Okay. So again, if you think about this last step O and step N, you're actually trying to think about this within the context of a real task, a real scenario. Right? This is what you're trying to do. And thinking about it end to end. Where does information come in? Where does information leave? Right? So let's move on and think about the next task. Right? Enter the cost per item. Fred's motivation here is very low. Why should Fred have to enter the cost at all? Surely the system knows. If this field is actually used to display the cost, then it has the wrong visual affordance, as it actually looks like a text box that Fred needs to enter some information into. Something that Fred might want to do is enter in a deeply discounted price, but who knows whether this will work or not, right? Enter it in $1. Next task is to enter in the total. This is the exact same problem as the one before, right? Should Fred also need to enter the balance owing? See again, what is the difference between this and the total that he is dealing with from before, right? Same issue. Last task, click trigger invoice or press PF5. I would say here that Fred also has very low knowledge, right? Being inexperienced with computers, Fred may not recognize or know how to use the clickable button. The PF5 label is also mysterious, as Fred does not recognize it as a keyboard shortcut. Fred will find the meaning of trigger invoice cryptic, as this is the language of database system rather than in his own language. This may leave him at a loss for what to do. So a possible solution, remove the PF5 label, change trigger invoice to something more meaningful. Right? And this is very similar to what I showed you once when I showed you how to do the expense form claim in PeopleSoft, where there are all these fields that mean absolutely nothing to me, right? All I know is the project number that I am trying to enter in. That's what I care about. So you can actually imagine going through this for the next set of steps, right? T through W, I'll let you just read that on your own time. And you can actually see that there are issues with whether or not Fred is going to know what to do and whether he's actually motivated to take that next step. So I want you to think now a little bit about what has happened here, okay? Before sliding to the next slide. I want you to think about, notice how you could actually evaluate the interface without actually having a real user, right? Your real users help to inform the tasks, but once you have the tasks, you can actually go through and see whether or not this is going to work. So now you can come to the next slide. So you'll see that task-centered design forces us to be systematic, right? It forces us to consider each thing step by step, and it actually provides you with good rationale when you are explaining to people why a particular design is not going to work. Right? It's a flow-based technique. It may leave out some particular cases, error cases, exception cases, but because we're going through things at a minutia, at a low level, it allows us to see things that we might have ignored just by glancing at the interface. And I think now what's really interesting is if you go back to the interface for the catalog store, if you look at the interface, probably when you first saw the interface, you might have said, yeah, this is not too bad. Maybe there's some problems, but it's probably not too bad, right? That's probably what you said, because I know I thought that a lot too. And what you see when you actually go through at this low-level step-by-step way, is that there are all sorts of problems with this interface. And the great thing is that task-centered system design allows you to see these problems. One of the problems is that it obviously takes a long time. It's very tedious. Next slide. So it's also useful to think about exceptional cases, right? The previous step would have explored all the tasks that you've, as you spelled them out in the first phase, but also consider error, failure, and exception cases just to see how well your interface would do. So let's go back, right? Next slide. Here we're dealing with interruptions, errors, and exceptions. And in Fred's case, something that's quite believable is that he's going to need to deal with his toddler, right? Fred's motivated to do this, obviously, and his knowledge is probably reasonably high. But one of the issues he's going to deal with is remember that the interface times out after 30 seconds, right? For when people walk away from the screen. And here, Fred is not going to know what happened, right? The system has cleared the screen, and Fred now has to re-enter all his information, which he will likely not do. Note that this is going to happen in a similar way if Fred lingers too long on any step in this task. So one of the things that we talked about is maybe the catalog is located far away from the computer. This seems kind of ridiculous, except for remember that computers are often a scarce resource, whereas a catalog is a very plentiful resource. And so computers may be put in a certain place, right, where maybe somewhere where somebody can keep an eye on the computer, right? Incorrect item number. So if Fred enters in an incorrect item number, the system will blink that field for 3 seconds and then clear it. It is extremely unlikely that Fred will know what this means, right? Is he able to actually recognize that as an error message, right? Even if Fred recognizes he made a mistake entering the item number, he will be uncertain what he did wrong since the number is no longer there or how to correct it. So he's not going to know that he needs to do this. So next slide. Let's imagine that the red stroller is actually unavailable. If no red stroller is in stock, how does Fred find this out? Will the sales clerk have to tell him? Or what's going to happen, right? And then is he going to need to re-enter all the information for the blue stroller if this happens, right? You can't imagine that Fred is actually going to want to do this at all. So next slide. So if we look at this walkthrough in a nutshell, changes in the order are not supported very well. It's very slow to enter in items, and if people are slow in using the systems in some way, it's going to result in customers waiting in a line, which is not good, right? And it's going to be very stressful if this happens. So next slide. So are there better ways to do it? Perhaps. Here's one way that that we came up with in this particular example. So what you could imagine is actually some sort of wizard or something like this that actually tells you what to do. It's a box on the interface that actually says what to do. And this is a wizard, right? You could imagine that is a touchscreen involved, or perhaps a barcode reader. So if we move on to the next slide, you can actually imagine that the way you would actually scan in an item is, you would actually scan in an item, right, using the barcode reader rather than having to type something in. You can imagine being able to use sort of a radio button to actually select which color that you would like and graying out the item that is out of stock, the red item, right? And being able to click through on these buttons. And you can see that this is a much, in some ways, a much more simple interface, right? Right? There's a button at the order that says place your order. There's a button that says print this list. There's a button that says throw this list away. And you can see that the print this list thing is probably associated with, I can't remember her name, but the elderly woman who likes to do price shopping, price comparison. There's also an easy delete button there, which they can use to actually change their order, right? So this addresses the third scenario, if I remember correctly. So you imagine that the printer would be right out, right next to the screen itself. So next slide. So a quick summary then. Task-centered system design is a formulaic method of designing systems based on user needs. So rather than kind of going by the seat of your pants and imagining what you think might be good, you actually have a way of actually going through and designing systems and also evaluating designs to see whether or not they're actually going to make sense. Right, so it provides you a systematic mechanism to evaluate interface without users. Of course, it is very pedantic and tedious, but it is still very effective in helping you to find bugs. So it provides a method of identifying bugs and iteratively improve an interface. So if you remember what we talked about one time, this may be good at getting the design right, but it might be not good at helping you get the right design exactly. Okay? So it's simple to use, though, and it's effective in many cases. So next slide. So you now know how to conduct a walkthrough using task-centered design method, and you can describe what a task-centered design method is good for and why you might use it. All right, thank you very much.